If you've been thinking about buying or leasing a new BMW, let me give you a little advice. When you talk to your BMW dealer, don't just ask how much your new BMW is going to cost to buy. Ask how much extra it'll cost to maintain. Surely, a car with such legendary performance credentials as a BMW can't be inexpensive to maintain, can it? Well, actually, your new BMW will cost you nothing extra to maintain. See, every new BMW is covered by BMW's full maintenance program. That means all factory recommended maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles is covered. It even covers things that typically wear out over time, like brake pads, brake rotors, even wiper blades. Look, BMW has always made cars that are fun to drive. And now, we've made them just a little more fun to own.
Make sure you stop by Chapman BMW on McDowell and test drive the new 6 Series BMWs only at Chapman BMW on McDowell. That's Chapman BMW.
Time now to get in the game with Head Games, hosted by former NFL Pro Bowler Nick Lowry. Nick, along with a cast of prominent sports figures, discuss how the human mind affects the outcome in sports. He also raises the quality of discussion on how to make better decisions both on and off the field. Head Games is brought to you by Fort McDowell Casino, BMW, and Matchstick Cigars. And now, broadcasting live from the card room at Fort McDowell Casino, Nick Lowry.
Good evening, everybody. This is our 10th show of Head Games. We're live at Fort McDowell Casino's poker room, and this is Head Games. It's a different kind of show because we like to look at how we perform both on and off the playing field. I'm Nick Lowry. My partners are normally the Mnuch, Dan Mnuchin, who's not here with us tonight, and nationally known sports psychologist Dr. Andy Jacobs. Dan can't be with us tonight, but Dr. J and I are going to be ready to handle tonight's guest, who's, I think, a rare combination because he's not only an NFL Hall of Famer, but he's one of the great leaders that has changed the landscape of sport, the politics and economics of the NFL. He fought through three NFL strikes. He's played in several Super Bowls. That's Gene Upshaw, former Oakland Raider, one of the great enemies of the Kansas City Chiefs, I might say. We're interested in looking at the link between dealing with pressure in a Super Bowl, as Gene certainly did, and during a strike when everyone and their mother hates you, yet you have to fight for rights that never before existed. The reason that the NFL today is three times more successful than any other sport is because of the fights that Gene Upshaw and people like him were willing to put themselves through, the kind of pressure where the media don't support you. It's an interesting lesson. Were the lessons on the playing field of sport that Gene Upshaw confronted every day during his career in the 70s and 80s, were they things that helped him deal with pressure? Because you've got 1,500 constituents in the National Football League Players Association that are violent human beings, paid thousands if not millions of dollars to hurt people, paid money that usually is afforded only by vice presidents. You got a lot of egos, a lot of people used to getting their own way. So we're going to look into that. We're going to look at the politics of sport, the unique economics of football, with not only free agency now, which allows players to go from one team to another, which they couldn't do before, but a percentage of gross revenue, which back in 1982 was completely, wildly revolutionary. Yet today it's taken for granted. And when you add in that last piece, that famous salary cap, that's what makes the NFL much more stable economically. It's brought labor peace, and it's allowed the football field to be a place where you worry about football and not about the things that hockey has to deal with every day now, which is labor unrest and unhappy, if not reasonably well-paid, hockey players. So with that, I'd like to introduce my good friend of 20 years, Dr. Andrew Jacobs. How are you, Dr. Jacobs?
I'm great, Nick. How are you? You sound pretty energetic tonight, buddy.
Well, you know, I got to make up for not having Dan the Mnuch with us. Dan has taken a job as the new director locally of the National Football Foundation, and he's going to do a great job with that. But every week we talk about different types of pressure, and this is an interesting thing for me this week because, you know, I've known Gene Upshaw through the strikes when our story was never told, didn't seem to ever get out there, when Ed Garvey, the head of the Players Association, was lynched in the media. And now I see 20 years later that all those fights were worth it because players today live much better lives. They're respected more. And they also have better relationships with the coaches. They're much more partners in the league. One of the things that you and I talked about on Sunday was the the way pressure is handled by players today, the game is so much more competitive. What strikes you today as you look at those playoff games this weekend, Andy, about pressure and the way that the game has evolved over the last 20 years?
Well, football today has become such a popular sport that the pressure that's placed on these players today is much greater than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and I think the players know it. They're in the spotlight, they're on the national media, they're on television worldwide, and I think that for a lot of these guys, the pressure gets to them, and I think it's pretty obvious in the way some of them perform. It's also become, you know, the NFL, Nick, is different than when you played just a few years ago. It's very much a showboating league now. Guys are doing things to draw attention to themselves. You know, one of the questions that I'm interested in asking Gene Upshaw is his opinion of a player like Randy Moss and the antics that he has when he's not actually playing football. You know, his behavior the other night, walking off the field last week. You know, I think this is obviously an extremely talented young man, but a man who's been able to get away with things for way too long in his life, and sooner or later is going to have to pay the price for some of the things he's doing.
You know, I'm interested in comparing a Randy Moss, who, along with Terrell Owens, is the most dangerous wide receiver in the league, and a Ron Artest. These are guys that historically have not been able to find boundaries of behavior in their lives. You know, you had Ron Artest just a week after that horrible melee in Detroit with the Pacers, and he's now been suspended, talking on the Today Show as if he was only promoting his music career. And then you have a Randy Moss who looks like Bozo the Clown out there with his hair, basically saying, you know what, to the audience. It's a guy who's trying to revolt, and to some degree I respect that, but it also seems as if he would be so much more, I think, a valuable part of the team if he didn't engage in this behavior.
Well, you and I both know that when people act like that, they're drawing attention to themselves. It's, in some ways, Ron Artest is almost sociopathic in his behaviors. He's got an anger control problem. He's got some serious issues that he needs to address if he's going to be able to come back and play in the NBA and succeed, because I don't think a lot of the coaches are going to put up with his antics anymore. Randy Moss has been able to get by because of his talent, but sooner or later, you know, the physical talent, the abilities that you have, wear thin when your behavior is not very appropriate. And Randy Moss's behavior is not appropriate. It's not good for young people to see. Well, in many ways it is good for young people to see this, because it tells people what not to do. But these are things that I think that need to be addressed, and I know Gene Upshaw is probably concerned about this type of stuff, because I doubt that we'd have ever seen Gene Upshaw bending over at the Oakland Coliseum with the fans. I mean, that's just the type of thing that man would not do.
Well, on the other hand, you'd see a lot of fans do it, and that's one of the things that people don't see unless they're right there. When we played the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game in 1994 with Joe Montana and Marcus Allen and all the great players, Derek Thomas, the late great Derek Thomas and Neil Smith, we were mooned coming into the parking lot before the game. I saw grandmothers giving us the finger. We were mooned when we left. That's exactly what happened to Randy Moss and the Minnesota Vikings going into Green Bay. It becomes this sort of fraternity-like ritual, and the fans think, hey, it's entertainment. But I think, you know, when you are in the context of the player, seeing those things being done to you, simply pretending like you're doing it doesn't, I think it's been blown a little bit out of proportion. Let me ask you this. With a player like Terrell Owens or Randy Moss, the guys that seem to act out, there seems to be a pattern that a lot of them are these wide receivers. You know, they're sort of lone sharks out there. They're lone rangers. When you see a player that acts out like this, what in his background brings so much anger? What has allowed him to feel so ignorant of the normal boundaries most of us take for granted?
Well, and isn't it interesting that you didn't mention any kickers in that situation? You know, I
that's because we're very, very together people. We understand we must control ourselves, or those large people will kill us.
Yeah, well, you know, and kickers have been known to be a little bit different than everybody else, probably because you're thinkers. I think one of the things that when you've got a guy like a Terrell Owens or a Randy Moss who's acting out like this, you know, they've been allowed through most of their lives to act out and get away with it. And because they're physically talented, they're an exceptional physical athlete, they have been allowed to get by with the things that they've done because the coaches don't want to destroy the chance of winning a championship with a player like that. And we've seen it over and over. We've talked about Derek Thomas before, about this young man who lost his life because of a carelessness in a car accident, basically because he was able to get away with things. You know, he thought it's the Superman complex. And let's face it, Nick, you know a lot of these players through the years of playing with them. A lot of these guys thought they could do anything they wanted on or off the field, and they were able to get away with it because coaches were afraid to really put the hammer down and put some discipline on them, and that's part of the reason these guys get away with these things.
So do you think part of that, too, I think, is in this era of free agency, there seems to be a need. When you saw Joe Horn last year pretend like he was on a cell phone, he actually wasn't talking to anybody, but that was his way to get attention. Do you think some of it is just the need to promote oneself, that in free agency people want to get attention, and if you're Joe Horn stuck in New Orleans with a losing team, those are the things that you have to do?
I think if that's it, you may be right, but I'm going to tell you something. If that's indeed the case, it's a sad state for the NFL that that's what players are resorting to get attention to themselves. I think when we look back and when we talk about role models for kids, and this show we do here has a lot to do with, we know there are a lot of people driving home from work in the Phoenix area right now who are listening to us who have kids that play sports, and a lot of people are appalled at the behavior that Randy Moss or some of these guys have displayed. And I think the key thing is, you know, it's about teaching what's right and wrong. And I think when you have players that are doing these types of things because they have a need to draw attention to themselves, number one, they've got a confidence problem. You know, they may come across as a cocky football player, but underneath they're probably fairly insecure because they're not confident enough with themselves to be able to just let their statistics and their actions speak for themselves. They've got to do these extracurricular things to draw attention to themselves. And that says to me they've got confidence problems.
My producer, Dave the Man, said that maybe we should mention Vanderjack, one of the few kickers that spoke out. I will say the kicker, of course, is the lone individual on a team. He's usually smaller. He's got to prove himself in those few plays he has. He's not somebody that proves his manhood by making crunching tackles. But Vanderjack stood up and said, our team is not good enough. We're not doing whatever it takes. And then what was unique to him was he backed it up with a career year where he made every single field goal that year. So he came out of that season with more credibility. But usually the kicker has to stay back and measure himself only by what he does on the field. Now, other positions are very different. Certainly wide receiver is the antithesis of the kicker.
Well, you're right about Mike Vanderjack. What he did was truly amazing last season. And the fact that the season started off with him basically bad-mouthing Peyton Manning, saying that, you know, this team needed to get some character and some leadership. And I think what he did was, I think he really motivated that team. And the fact that he backed it up with his performance probably showed, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys on that team respect him, just like, you know, the Pittsburgh quarterback, the rookie quarterback Pittsburgh has. I forget how you say his name, Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger.
Right.
Ben Roethlisberger.
You know, you had a lineman on the team earlier in the year say something to the effect that, you know, I don't want a rookie quarterback leading us because, you know, we need a guy who's in charge. Well, you know, he's gone off and had, you know, he's the rookie of the year. He's had an incredible year, and I think that, you know, everyone in Pittsburgh obviously loves him. And he's shown leadership skills, and he's backed up his actions on the field by, you know, being a professional off the field. And I think that's really what it comes down to. It's about, I think, Nick, it comes back to how we're raised. And, you know, the upbringing we have, the role models we had, our moms, our dads, our aunts, our uncles, our parents, our teachers, our coaches, who taught us things as we grew up and how we learned to model those behaviors. And if we didn't, you know, a lot of these guys didn't have parents. They may have been raised in a single-parent home by maybe a mother or a father, but didn't have a lot of the discipline. They were able to get away with things, and it's continued as they've moved on in life.
We've got a couple minutes till the end of this first segment. Let's talk about linking this now to our BMW high-performance guest. Coming up in the next segment, Gene Upshaw, Hall of Famer, the executive director of the NFL Players Association. He's got a difficult job because he wants to promote the interests, the rights, the point of view of the players, but he also now is in an era where there's cooperation with the commissioner, where there is... I think it's 58% of the revenue goes to players now. You know, what do you see as the biggest challenge for an authority figure who has to deal with all of these, you know, very highly trained, very intense people?
Well, I think someone in Gene Upshaw's position has to have tremendous leadership skills. He has to have a lot of self-confidence, and he has to have a very strong belief in what he does and says. And, you know, learning to balance how things work for him is going to be very important. He's dealing with a lot of very powerful people. Lots of people have a lot of very strong opinions. And he has to be strong in what he believes and back it up with his actions and words, because otherwise he wouldn't have survived as long as he has in this position.
One of the things that you see as a player firsthand is the stories that don't get told, the things that get misrepresented, that happens so often that it brings a very jaded attitude on the part of a lot of players like Randy Moss to the media. So we're going to talk about the role of the media, how the stories get told on the field and sometimes off the field. They're very different realities with a guy that's seen it all on and off the field, Gene Upshaw. This is Nick Lowry with sports psychologist, nationally known Dr. Andrew Jacobs at Fort McDowell Casino's Poker Room. We'll be right back with Head Games and NFL Hall of Famer and NFL Players Director Gene Upshaw in a moment.
Fort McDowell Casino is going to get your motor running. The Fort is bringing you 4 days of high horsepower automotive excitement with the Silver Collector Car Auction starting Friday, January 21st. That's right, 4 days filled with antiques, exotics, muscle cars, street rods, and more. And admission is just $5 for all 4 days. Browse through hundreds of classics, or better yet, drive one home, because they're all up for auction and all at the Fort just waiting for you. Plus, come into the Fort now for your chance to drive home in a classic 1972 Mustang Mach 1 muscle car. And with fabulous getaways to Radisson Poco Diablo Resort in Sedona. Winner's Circle members earn a free swipe each day. The more you swipe, the better your chances. Not a Winner's Circle member? Join the Winner's Circle today. It's absolutely free, and you'll get $10 just for joining. The Silver Car Auction, 4 days only, January 21st through the 24th. Only at Arizona's original casino, Fort McDowell Casino. Call 1-800-THE-FORT or at Fort McDowell Casino. Casino.com.
Must be 21 years or older to participate in gaming activities.
Hi, this is Nick Lowry. Check out the hottest card room in the valley, the Poker Room at Fort McDowell Casino. You can play Texas Hold'em, 7-card stud, high-low stud, and Omaha. The Fort offers the lowest rake in the valley with comps and cash for playing. Tournaments are 7 days a week, and the live game jackpot, I think, is number one in the valley, $51,500 right now. Call 1-800-THE-FORT, extension 693 for weekly updates, jackpot totals, and tournament information. That's the Poker Room at the Fort, only at Fort McDowell Casino. And join the free winner's circle at Fort McDowell Casino's Players Club. Automatically, you earn $10 just for joining. You earn points that are valued everywhere throughout the casino. You'll also receive incredible food discounts and entertainment offers. Call 1-800-THE-FORT or go online to www.fortmcdowellcasino.com for more information. It's all here at Fort McDowell Casino.
A good cigar is by far a great way to relax. Premium hand-rolled cigars are very flavorful, smooth as silk to smoke, and when shared with a great glass of cognac, port, scotch, or wine, a very enjoyable experience. Matchstick Cigars in Chandler, Arizona's best-kept secret, located at the Chandler Fashion Square next to P.F. Chang's, offers premium cigars from all over the world, including Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Jamaica. Matchstick Cigars offers two lounges where you can sit down and enjoy a cigar with some friends in Arizona's only cigar lounge serving beer and wine. They offer a fine line of humidors, cigar accessories, related books and magazines, and best of all, a very knowledgeable and friendly staff who'll take the time to meet your needs. Matchstick Cigars is dedicated to providing retail and corporate customers with an outstanding range of specialty tobacco products, corporate and personal gifts, and accessories. Matchstick Cigars at the Chandler Fashion Square, 480-726-STIX or matchstickcigars.com.
If you've been thinking about buying or leasing a new BMW, let me give you a little advice. When you talk to your BMW dealer, don't just ask how much your new BMW is going to cost to buy. Ask how much extra it'll cost to maintain. Surely, a car with such legendary performance credentials as a BMW can't be inexpensive to maintain, can it? Well, actually, your new BMW will cost you nothing extra to maintain. See, every new BMW is covered by BMW's full maintenance program. That means all factory-recommended maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles is covered. It even covers things that typically wear out over time, like brake pads, brake rotors, even wiper blades. Look, BMW has always made cars that are fun to drive, and now we've made them just a little more fun to own.
Make sure you stop by Chapman BMW on McDowell and test drive the new 6 Series BMWs only at Chapman BMW on McDowell. That's Chapman BMW.
Tired of eating pizza that tastes like cardboard? If that's the case, then you need to stop by one of two Venezia's New York-style pizzerias in the East Valley. If you love pizza, then you've got to try the 24-inch party pie exclusively at Venezia's. Dine in, pick up, or delivery, Venezia's is serving you from two convenient locations in Tempe and Chandler. in Tempe at the southeast corner of Mill and Southern, and in Chandler on the northeast corner of Pecos and McQueen. And for you sports fans, take advantage of the extra large two-item pizza for just $10.99. Now at Venezia's New York-style pizzerias. Looking for the best place to watch football on the weekends in Phoenix? Champs Restaurant and Bar at the Biltmore is your new home for football. Champs offers the finest Bloody Mary bar in town both Saturday and Sunday, and a fantastic Sunday brunch menu for all NFL games. Monday closes the weekend with a live ESPN Radio 860 broadcast 2 to 4, happy hour specials 4 to 7, including half-price appetizers, and a Monday night party hosted by former NFL alumni. Stop by Champs, where it's definitely time for football. Champs, located at 24th Street and Camelback in the Biltmore Plaza.
Looking for the best place to watch sports in North Scottsdale? Check out the new Primetime Sports Grill at Greyhawk. Finally, an upscale sports bar in North Scottsdale that offers great food and plenty of TVs to watch all your favorite teams, both locally and nationally. Primetime Sports Grill is not just your ordinary sports bar. Primetime has a great atmosphere and prides itself on a great menu. Primetime's menu includes incredible specialties like the spicy Primetime wings, the tasty fish tacos, the huge prime rib sandwich, and the gigantic half-pound Angus beef Primetime cheeseburger, and the best fries in town. Primetime offers daily food specials and a 4 to 7 happy hour Monday through Sunday. And for all the sports on the weekend, if it's on, it's on at Primetime. And golfers, Primetime is your 19th hole after playing golf in Scottsdale. Make Primetime your tournament headquarters for the Open this January. Primetime Sports Grill, Scottsdale Road just north of Thompson Peak next to Bash's. Primetime Sports Grill at Greyhawk, your neighborhood sports bar in North Scottsdale.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes.
Bad mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, how do we come back from those big old mistakes where we've been humiliated in front of thousands of people on the playing field or off? Head Games is about those sorts of conundrums, those sorts of challenges that we face every day. Welcome back to Head Games, straight from Fort McDowell Casino's Poker Room. We're here every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. This is Nick Lowry with nationally known sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Head Games is about performing under pressure both on and off the field. How do we make good decisions when we're tired, when we got lots of things to balance in our lives? And I think there's so much we can learn from someone like NFL Hall of Famer Gene Upshaw. He's been executive director now for many, many years. How are you tonight, Gene?
I'm doing fine, Nick. How are you? I mean, you're out in the land of the sun, enjoying the good Phoenix weather, and we're back here. You might be getting a little rain, but we're back here right now where it's a little cooler than it is out there.
You know what? Most of the public think that you're probably raking in so much cash you could be in Hawaii if you wanted to, big guy.
Well, I probably could be, but that's not what the job requires. The job requires me right now to be here because every week you think that you've seen it all. Maybe I can relax this weekend, and then
right. All
of a sudden there's something else. I mean, we dealt with what we dealt with last week, but I didn't have any idea we'd be dealing with Randy Moss two weekends in a row, but I guess we are. I mean, he walked off the field last week against the Redskins, and then he had the little moonshot, I guess, in Green Bay. So it's always something to deal with. Hey, you're a former officer of this union. You know exactly what I'm talking about, and you know how we have to deal with this stuff.
Well, one of the things we talked about in the previous segment with Dr. Jacobs is the fact that one of the biggest educations you get as an NFL player is the role of the media, the fact that certain things get told and certain things get exaggerated or misrepresented and certain things never get out there. And so when we were fighting those fights, Gene, and you were also a player on, you know, a championship team, the Oakland Raiders, the hated Raiders, tell me, is there any link, as you look back now, at the way you had to deal with the pressure, the coaches, the lower salaries where you had to sometimes even work in the off season? What is the link between the pressure you dealt with on the field when you had to make that big pull block on the linebacker coming from the outside and, you know your quarterback's not very mobile, and the pressure you deal with today every day with unpredictable people like Randy Moss and Terrell Owens?
Well, I think playing on the football field was a lot easier, and the reason I say that is because at least on the football field, you can sort of live within a design. What we do, and as you well know, you do it every day as well as I do, we pick up the sports page every day and we decide, okay, here's what the issues are today. This is what we'll be talking about. And our life will kind of like revolve around that. But in a larger sense, we still have a greater good that we have to do. And that's what it's all about. And it's all about the majority, not about the few guys that kind of step across the line. We're going to always have those. We always had them. We'll always have them in the future. But what we have to do as leaders is to try to craft a course that makes sense. And when it makes sense, it all works out for all of us. And, hey, you are leading this. I don't have to tell you. You know what I'm talking
about. I appreciate that. But, you know, one of the stories that we hear about when we read the books about Vince Lombardi, I was given a Vince Lombardi leadership book for Christmas. Not only was he a great leader, but this guy was an SOB, if you will, you know, in management, because back then, back in the late 60s and the early 70s, management had all of the cards. The players made hardly any money. You had, I remember Tom Condon saying he was playing for $18,000 as a rookie. And, you know, you really had – what did you play for, Gene?
I played for 17. I was a number one pick. I was a 16th pick in the draft. I got a $25,000 signing bonus. I got 17, 19, and 21. That was my contract.
And you were happy to get that, right?
Oh, I was happy to get it. I was in Texas going to college. I mean, once I got out of there, I thought, this is all the money in the world. Matter of fact, when I signed my first contract, my college coach said, look, we've gotten you 3 years, because it took 5 years to be, you know, to get your pension. He says, I've gotten you three. You should get the other two on your own.
Well, tell me, you know, as you fought these strikes, the 77 strike, the 82 strike that I was involved with, Tom Condon was the player rep. I became player rep. Tom became the president of the Players Association, worked very closely with you and Ed Garvey. You know, those were days when the stories that you wanted to have people hear about, the violence, the 100% injury rate, that every player on average gets injured at least once and misses a game during the season. You know, the average age expectancy is very low. We've heard some different accounts of that. Some say it's 54, some say it's more than that. But still, the stories also of the Vince Lombardis behind the scenes that were, you know, great leaders, but they were pretty tough people. And, you know, tell us some of the things that you had to deal with as a player, but having to represent not only your own career, but risk your own career to try to fight for these rights.
Well, I mean, when you decide to be a player rep, an alternate player rep, an officer in the union, you decide at that point that I'm willing to give up my career for the betterment of everyone else. And that is the only reason that we enjoy and the players enjoy what they enjoy today. Believe me, if the guys before us had not been willing to give up, sacrifice, and understand that the struggle was worth the dignity and the fight, we would not be where we are today. And when we, and I always remind the young players today, I'm in the locker room constantly, and I tell them, you're standing on someone else's shoulder. The way you found the world today is not the way it was when it all began. Be grateful, understand the history, appreciate the history, and support what we've done, and don't forget the people who went before you. And that's the only reason that we were able to survive, because believe me, we're dealing with people who make a lot of money, that understand what all of this is about. And as leaders, we had to take a step and step out in front of the bus, and we did, and we didn't care what happened.
Now, as you see players change today, with all of the money that's come into the game, what's the biggest change, Gene, that you see in the psychology of players as they look at themselves and their careers? How have they changed in the most fundamental way in the last 20 years?
I don't think the players really changed that much, Nick. What I really think has happened is the things that we had, and you remember in Kansas City, I mean, you guys had great camaraderie. The guys got together, you talked to each other, you spent time together. There was nothing else to do. Now there are so many other distractions. Remember back when we all started, there was no 24-hour sports shows. There was no one covering.
There's no ESPN.
But that's the difference. The difference is the scrutiny. I mean, I was watching. I mean, you're out in Arizona, and Randy Johnson shows up today in New York, and he gets upset about a camera getting in his face. Well, you better get used to that, because when you get to New York, you're going to have a lot of cameras in your face.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it is today, and you got to accept that. Whatever happens today is not only local news, it's national news. In the old days, whatever happened was local news, and you could probably keep it local and no one ever find out about it about a year from now. But now, if it happens, it's all over the country.
I remember this story, actually, when Randy Johnson first signed with the Diamondbacks, and my friend Scott Passmore, who anchors Good Morning Arizona, was talking about how Randy had gotten in the face of a cameraman the very first couple days he was in town for that same reason. But it didn't make it out to the national media in Phoenix, but in New York, it's a different story. Hey, joining us, Gene, is Dr. Andrew Jacobs. And Andy, sorry I've been waxing eloquent here, but do you have any particular questions for Gene Upshaw?
Well, sure Andy's got a lot of questions for me because I admire him. I really appreciate what you're doing out there, Andy, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Gene. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and as a lifelong Chiefs fan, I want to tell you...
I won't hold that against you.
I was going to hold... Well, your brother played for the Chiefs, so you know...
I know. I have to accept that part of it, but that's okay.
But I enjoy... You know, I will tell you, I always admired watching you play. You were such a great player, and what you're doing now is just tremendous for these players, and I think that, you know, the current players... But, couple of questions I've got for you. First of all, you've got players like Randy Moss, and let's face it, there were players like John Matuszak back when you played and players like that, but they're always going to be the colorful personalities and the guys who are acting out. You've got hundreds of players, however, who don't act like that, who are responsible people, who are tremendous role models. How do we get the word out to people about a lot of these guys who are doing the wonderful things for you know, hospitals and sick kids, and how do we get a lot of people to understand some of the great players we're doing great things off the field to balance this type of stuff out?
Well, Andy, as you well know, and you've been in it as long as I have, I can tell you, the guys that do the good things is not news. I mean, you can talk about Warrick Dunn. He's in the playoffs, what he's doing, the homes that he's been able to give to, you know, parents and kids. That's not news. You can talk about Derrick Brooks, what he's doing. That's not news. You can talk about all of the players. I mean, even what Nick's doing. I mean, he's had kick for Knicks for I don't know how many years, but no one covers that because it's not news. It's when a guy does something that's obscene, that's kind of off color, that everyone covers. But no one talks about the good that our guys do. We've had so many guys go over to Iraq. Deacon Jones, a former player is in the Hall of Fame, got all involved in all of this, and he's been to Iraq a couple of times. But no one covers that. No one covers the good things that guys do. They cover only the negative things, and that's a shame. But guess what? The positive things we do will always outweigh the negative things, and the guys that do it don't do it for publicity. That's why they don't care if they don't get any.
You know, well, the good news is also somebody like, we only got about a minute here for till the end of this segment, then we'll be taking your calls. But when we think about some of those great players, some of the stories do get, especially if they're great players, like a Reggie White. I think it would be remiss to not talk about Reggie, what he meant to free agency for football, what he meant to the unity of the union and fighting for something with somebody that was a leader like him on and off the field. Tell me your perspective on Reggie White in about 20 seconds, and we'll come back after the break and take everybody's calls.
Well, Reggie was willing to put his name on the lawsuit because he believed in the dignity and freedom that we all fought for. And at the end of that whole lawsuit, as you well know, Nick, he got no money out of it. He said, I'll get my money when I become a free agent. And he did.
Well, we're going to talk some more about the Reggie Whites of the world, and we're going to take your calls at 602-277-KMVP. That's 602-277-5687. You can talk with Hall of Famer Gene Upshaw about the players today, the Randy Mosses of the world. Talk about handling pressure like that drop catch at the end of the Seattle game or that missed field goal at the end of the San Diego Jets game. We'll be right back from Fort McDowell Casino in just a minute.
If you've been thinking about buying or leasing a new BMW, let me give you a little advice. When you talk to your BMW dealer, don't just ask how much your new BMW is going to cost to buy. Ask how much extra it'll cost to maintain. Surely, a car with such legendary performance credentials as a BMW can't be inexpensive to maintain, can it? Well, actually, your new BMW will cost you nothing extra to maintain. See, every new BMW is covered by BMW's full maintenance program, That means all factory-recommended maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles is covered. It even covers things that typically wear out over time, like brake pads, brake rotors, even wiper blades. Look, BMW has always made cars that are fun to drive. And now, we've made them just a little more fun to own.
Make sure you stop by Chapman BMW on McDowell and test drive the new 6 Series BMWs only at Chapman BMW on McDowell. That's Chapman BMW.
Nick Lowry back to tell you about my favorite dealership, and I mean favorite, Chapman BMW of Scottsdale on McDowell Road. At Chapman BMW on McDowell, they treat you like an NFL Hall of Famer, just like Gene Upshaw. Chapman BMW of Scottsdale on McDowell invites you to experience the pride they take in the vehicles they represent, and most of all, the service they provide every day to their customers. Chapman BMW Scottsdale on McDowell offers you the ultimate driving experience. Try the new 2005 325s, or my favorite, the X5s. I got two of them, one in Kansas City, one here. They're both awesome machines, make you feel like your fingertips control on the road. This week, tell them Head Games on ESPN Radio sent you, and pick up a free Nick Lowry autographed NFL football. It's a beautiful thing to behold, guys. Just ask for Dan Barry, the general manager there. You'll get your free autographed football at Chapman. You automatically also then become eligible for free tickets to the BMW suite at Suns games. Suns are, what, 30-4 now? And $100 autographed NFL footballs. Chapman BMW is located conveniently off the 101 and McDowell at 6601 East McDowell Road. Check them out on the web at chapmanbmw.com or call 480-949-7600. Chapman BMW Scottsdale offers you the ultimate driving experience.
Over the last 4 months, Suns guard Joe Johnson has averaged more than 500 shots a day and more than 4 hours a day in the gym. Because when you play to win, there is no off-season. Your Phoenix Suns are sweating buckets on and off the court to bring home a winner. With dedicated guys like Johnson, Marion, and Amari leading the charge, all that hard work could pay huge dividends for one of the NBA's most exciting teams.
Win with the Suns this season with the Sensational Sweepstakes. Buy tickets and you're automatically entered to win. January's grand prize, Suns Legends Party Suite for 20. No purchase necessary. Visit Suns.com for details.
Your Phoenix Suns. Working hard, playing harder.
If you love cigars like I do, you need to stop by Matchsticks Fine Cigars in Chandler. Matchsticks Fine Cigars in Chandler is located at the Chandler Fashion Square next to P.F. Chang's and is unlike all other cigar shops. Matchsticks has their own lounge with a big screen TV, lockers for their own members, and they are the only cigar store with their own beer and wine license. How great is that? A fine cigar, a cold beverage, and a big screen TV to watch the game. Matchsticks Fine Cigars offers a gigantic variety of the finest cigars in the world, and they can even do special requests for those hard-to-find cigars. In addition, the best selection of cigars in the valley, they offer an assortment of accessories to house your fine cigars. Matchsticks Fine Cigars can be reached at 480-726-STICKS. That's 480-726-7849. Mention Head Games or ESPN Radio 860, and the guys at Matchsticks will give you 10% off.
Fort McDowell Casino, where the stars shine brighter, presents one very special night with two very special artists, The Grassroots, starring Rob Grill, and The Turtles, featuring Flo and Eddie. Saturday, January 15th at 6 p.m. for one show only. Come see not one, but two 60 sensations at the Fort, live outdoors under the desert stars.
You and me.
Tickets are only $15 and great seats are available now at the Fort McDowell Casino Gift Shop with special discounts for our Winter Circle members. Online at Ticketmaster.com or charge by phone at 480-784-4444. That's The Grassroots, starring Rob Grill and The Turtles, featuring Flo and Eddie, live and in concert. Saturday, January 15th at 6 p.m. for one show only and only at Arizona's original casino, Fort McDowell Casino. Call 1-800-THE-FORT or at FortMcDowellCasino.com.
Must be 21 years old to participate in gaming activities. All events subject to cancellation.
A good cigar is by far a great way to relax. Premium hand-rolled cigars are very flavorful, smooth as silk to smoke, and when shared with a great glass of cognac, port, scotch, or wine, a very enjoyable experience. Matchstick Cigars in Chandler, Arizona's best-kept secret, located at the Chandler Fashion Square next to P.F. Chang's, offers premium cigars from all over the world, including Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Jamaica. Matchstick Cigars offers two lounges where you can sit down and enjoy a cigar with some friends in Arizona's only cigar lounge serving beer and wine. They offer a fine line of humidors, cigar accessories, related books and magazines, and best of all, a very knowledgeable and friendly staff who'll take the time to meet your needs. Matchstick Cigars is dedicated to providing retail and corporate customers with an outstanding range of specialty tobacco products, corporate and personal gifts, and accessories. Matchstick Cigars at the Chandler Fashion Square, 480-726-STIX, or matchstickcigars.com.
General Dynamics' approach to employment is simple. Hire exceptionally talented people, encourage their growth, and give them the opportunities to make a difference. Innovation and imagination happen at General Dynamics on a daily basis. From integrating advanced military operations centers to developing secure communication technologies to overhauling the U.S. maritime search and rescue system, General Dynamics is engineering some of the most advanced communication and information systems in the world. Join them in transforming the future. Visit www.careers@gdc4s.com. Employees at General Dynamics thrive in an environment that supports open communication with a real commitment to individual performance and growth. For current hire systems and software engineering openings and other job opportunities in Arizona and around the world, go to careers@gdc4s.com. General Dynamics, strength on your side.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fort McDowell Casino with Hall of Famer Gene Upshaw. This is Nick Lowry. I want to thank Dr. Andrew Jacobs for joining us. We're going to be taking your calls in the next segment. Call 602-277-5687. That's 602-277-KMVP. And you can talk with Hall of Famer, the director of the NFL Players Association, Gene Upshaw. Gene, there's one question I wanted to ask you about. When we looked at the playoff games this weekend, you saw Nate Kading, the rookie kicker for the Chargers, missing not an easy kick, but certainly not the hardest kick ever. You saw the wide receiver, I can't remember his name, for Seattle dropping that ball that could have won the game. Was there a time in your career when you choked? Tell me what happened and how did you get over it?
I never choked. Give me a break. As an offensive lineman, how can you choke? I mean, I was in several games. If you go back and you look at all the games that I was in and all the playoff games and the championship games that we lost, I can go back to the first year I was there. We actually went to the Super Bowl as a rookie. Second year, we lose to...
What year was that?
That was in 1967. I go as a rookie. I go to the Super Bowl as a rookie. The following year, we come back. We lose to the Jets. They ended up winning. The following year, we come back again. We lose to lovely Kansas City.
Lovely Kansas City, those sweet, yeah, loving people.
Yeah, they ended up winning. We go to Denver, and we lose there for a championship game. And Ry Blottle fumbles the ball. Tatum hits him, and they call it not a fumble. And we lose that one. I mean, you can just go on and on. I probably lost 7 or 8 or 9 that we probably should have gone all the way to the Super Bowl, but we lost in the championship game. So I understand what it's like to get to that last play, but I always believe that the toughest game to win is really the first game and the second game. And when you get to the conference championship, it's pretty easy after that. I really always believe that if you can get by that, you're okay.
So what's different about being an offensive lineman? We're going to have a caller in a second, Greg, so hold on for a second. Just one last question before we get to Greg. As an offensive lineman, you know, there's a group mentality. You have to play together. You see the Chiefs offensive line, maybe the best offensive line in the league with Will Shields. You saw how Larry Johnson came in and did so well right after, you know, Priest Holmes was injured, yep, and people began to see that this really is a truly unique team with Willie Rofe and those outstanding players. What is it that's different in terms of the mentality of a lineman that allows you to succeed year in, year out?
Well, what an offensive lineman has to do is you are the heart and soul of the team. They can talk about everyone else, defense wins. They can talk about quarterbacks, wide receivers. But it all starts right there at the heart. And the heart of any team is the offensive line. If you look at as high successful the Patriots have been, that offensive line has held together. You look at what's going on right now with the teams that are in the playoffs, it's the offensive line. And I was sort of disappointed with Kansas City this year simply because that team has some great linemen. And heaven knows, I hate pumping the horns for Kansas City, but I got to give them credit. When you see an offensive line that works together and achieves...
It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Oh, it is, because that's where it all starts. The ball snap, they have to do it. Five guys, all in one. That's what it's all about.
That guy, Brian Waters, too, made the Pro Bowl this year. He on the left side, left guard, an outstanding player as well. I mean, just wonderful to watch.
Pro Bowl in Kansas City because they have a great philosophy. And, you know, Carl Peterson and Vermeil have done a great job of getting those guys in there. And they play well together. That's what it's all about. It's one for all and all for one.
Well, we're going to take our first caller. Greg, are you there, Greg? Give us an interesting question for Gene Upshaw.
Well, I just said more of a one thing you said there, Mr. Upshaw, is the, you know, you thought it was easy once you got to the conference championship. I'm a big Philly fan, and man, I'm hoping four's a charm this year. So I don't know how easy it is for them.
Well, I can tell you what, Greg, I was there. We lost the championship game to the Jets. They won. We lost to Kansas City. They won the Super Bowl. We lost to Pittsburgh. They won the Super Bowl. We lost to Miami. They won the Super Bowl. We lost to Denver. They lost the Super Bowl. But I can tell you, you have to get there to have the opportunity, and it's all about getting there. And I talked to Andy Reid at the Pro Bowl last year. He said the last thing he wants to do is coach the Pro Bowl again this year. And Donovan McNabb said the same thing. So I think they got a big incentive. The one thing that they have going for them is Westbrook. He's healthy. He's doing well. Even though T.O. is out, I think Westbrook has to be the key.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're a better team than they have been the last three trips there. So
well,
I think it'll be
eventually,
good.
If you keep getting there, you're going to win.
You got to break it sometime.
Oh, sometimes you just got to get through that. You're going to win.
Yeah, you also had a question about the nature of players, too?
Yeah, I really think that the media really blows things out of the – you know, you get a different perception, I think, from the media. You know, before T.O. came to Philadelphia, you know, you see his antics and stuff, but you really don't know anything about the player. I remember watching NFL Access when they were interviewing him before he actually came to Philly. And I got really actually impressed just, you know, watching him off the field and you know, the things with his grandmother and whatnot. And then when he got to Philly, you know, he really just energized that whole city. I'm actually here from Arizona, and I thought it was kind of ridiculous how the fans, you know, it was like a rock concert going to watching that guy. But just watching him through the Philly, you know, through the season, I mean, I loved it when he went and ripped down the signs, you know, that were knocking on him there at the dog pound. You know, that was, to me, that's energizing. I love watching that stuff, you know.
The thing about him is that you just have to admit, a guy like, you know, Randy Moss, T.O., they got talent. You got to give them their due. That's what they've got. What you don't like is the other things that they do that's a little bit over the edge. But you have to give them credit that the guys have talent, they can win games, and if I was coaching a team, I'd make sure I get the ball in their hands as many times as I could because I know how good they are. And, you know, I think it was a good thing for Philadelphia, and that's what free agency is all about, giving every city an opportunity to have a chance to win.
Right.
Well, Greg, we appreciate your calling in. We just got a couple minutes left here with Gene Upshaw, but calling again, my friend, we appreciate it.
Hey, it's good talking to you guys. Thanks.
Gene, now we just got a minute here before we let you go, but tell me, as you look at the challenges that the Players Association faces now, you keep putting off the end of the collective bargaining agreement, which allows people to want to invest in the game, keep away the danger of labor unrest. In 30 seconds, tell me, what do you think is the biggest challenge approaching the Players Association and the game of the NFL?
You can't do that in 30 seconds, but what I'll have to say is that I think the owners and the players both understand that it's very important to keep the game on the field, out of the courtrooms, out of arbitration, and out of disputes, because we've been able to grow a great product, and we want to continue to grow that great product, and we want every city to have an opportunity to win, And people might complain about parity, but parity is a good thing. We don't want people to show up and say, oh, who has to beat the Yankees? That's not what this is about. What this is about is everyone has a chance. There's 17 weeks, and we're going to do whatever it takes to make every city, every community involved in this.
Well, you've been the architect with, first it was Ed Garvey, but for most of the last 20 years, it's been Gene Upshaw. Want to commend you for the leadership you've brought to the union and for the way the NFL has been a signature professional league for its success and its labor peace. Want to wish you good luck, and we appreciate you being a part of the Head Game show tonight. Thanks,
well, Nick,
thanks a lot,
Gene. Thanks for having me on, but you know, we started this battle many years ago, and it continues on, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed at all, and it's really all about the fans, the players, the owners, and the game.
Well, thanks again, my friend. Hopefully we'll have you on again. God bless.
God bless you.
Take care, my friend. All right, now we're moving on to something we do every week. It's our weekly feature, which is also about how you perform under pressure. This week we have not Mike Byrne, because he's handed the ball off to the great Chris Cronin, who's going to talk about, well, some of the things you do in poker that are pretty pressure situations. You've got a pair, but it's not a high pair. It's a low pair. So tell us about your advice for those young poker players that want to make the right decision.
Excellent. Last segment we talked about small players, what to do with them before the flop. Once the flop comes and you see the three cards out there, it's important to know whether or not to hang on to that pair and go ahead and play it or get rid of it. A couple tips for some newer players might be, if you're playing small pairs and you flop three over cards, you might want to get rid of them. If you don't hit your card on the flop to make three of a kind, probably not worth it. However, let's say you have a pair of sevens and one of them's a diamond. Three diamonds come on the flop.
Right.
There's a good chance you might be the only person in with a flush, especially if you're heads up. You might want to go ahead and play that one.
What's the lowest pair that you ever were able to win a big hand with?
Deuces, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, any pair, as long as you hit that card on the flop, you get a big advantage from there on.
Cool. Tell us, we got about, what, a minute and a half. Tell us about any of the new calendar events that are happening at the casino in the next few seconds here.
Excellent. Our jackpot, I think we mentioned earlier, is up to $51,500, highest jackpot in the valley right now. We're real proud of that. Not quite up to our world record jackpot, but we're working our way back up there. We also have promotions every month. The regular tournament players day-to-day can qualify to play in a bigger tournament at the end of each month, where they can win a chance to get in the $10,000 buy-in at the World Series of Poker. It's the one everybody sees on TV. It's the one everybody wants to get to. And right now we do have two qualifiers here, Josh Bauer and Brian McCamey. Congratulations to them. Seven more qualifiers coming.
Well, thank you, Chris Cronin. Hopefully we'll have you next week. We're working on a couple nationally known sports figures for next week's game. Thank you for joining us at Fort McDowell Casino. We want to thank Matchstick Cigars, Chapman B&W in Scottsdale on McDowell Road, and, of course, the great Fort McDowell Casino Poker Room. Remember, you can get a free autographed football just by stopping by Chapman B&W. If you mention Head Games and Matchstick Cigars, you'll get a 15% discount. Thanks also to our outstanding BMW guest, Gene Upshaw, the NFL Players Association, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, and the world's greatest producers, Dave Williams and Nathan. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week on Head Games on ESPN 860.